Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 19th of May 2008, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear about a nano soccer tournament that is so small that the entire field could fit onto a grain of rice. We'll hear about more advances in solar cell efficiencies made possible using nanotechnology, and about a gold ring that is both really big and really small. In this week's Azo Nano interview, Cameron Chai speaks to Michelle Hedges, a partner at Phillips Ormond and Fitzpatrick, a firm of patent and trademark attorneys. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Researchers at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, have granted an exclusive license to Liquidia Technologies for a protein particle fabrication method that could greatly expand the reach of protein therapeutics. Proteins are large organic molecules that perform highly specific and complex functions in the body, making them an ideal instrument to diagnose and cure disease. However, protein solubility, distribution, stability, and aggregation have hampered the development of this therapeutic class. Using a nanofabrication process known as the particle replication in non-wetting templates, or PRINT, the researchers formed protein particles of pure insulin and albumin, as well as albumin particles containing therapeutics such as siRNA and paclitaxel. These particles are designed with a predetermined size and shape profile that may optimize protein stability, solubility, and concentration while minimizing interparticle forces that cause aggregation. This discovery is expected to dramatically expand the capability and efficacy of existing protein therapeutics. A new solar cell efficiency record has been set through the use of an ultra-thin aluminium oxide layer at the front of the cell, and it brings a breakthrough in the use of solar energy a step closer. An improvement of more than 1% in absolute terms may at first glance appear modest, but it can enable solar cell manufacturers to greatly increase the performance of their products. This is because higher efficiency is a very effective way of reducing the cost price of solar energy. The costs of applying the thin layer of aluminium oxide are expected to be relatively low. This will mean a significant reduction in the cost of producing solar electricity. Researchers were able to achieve the increase in efficiency by depositing an ultra-thin layer, approximately 30 nanometers, of aluminium oxide on the front of a crystalline silicon solar cell. This layer has an unprecedented high level of built-in negative charges, through which the normally significant energy losses at the surface are almost entirely eliminated. Of all sunlight falling on these cells, 23.2% is now converted into electrical energy. This was formerly 21.9%, which means a 6% improvement in relative terms. Paul Morrow, a talented young physicist who'll graduate from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in May, has developed a nanomaterial that has never before been produced. The nanomaterial is an array of freestanding nanoscale columns composed of alternating layers of magnetic cobalt and non-magnetic copper. Morrow's three-dimensional arrangement of the magnetic and non-magnetic layers creates a material that exhibits promising magnetic properties for data storage and magnetic field sensing at room temperature. Similar technology is currently in use in hard drives around the world, but they both use a two-dimensional film design for the layers. Because the nanostructure is three-dimensional, it has the potential to vastly expand data storage capability, and a disk with increased data storage density would reduce the size, cost, and power consumption of any electronic device that uses a magnetic hard drive. A read head sensor based on a small number of these nanocolumns has promise for increasing spatial sensitivity so that bits that are more closely spaced on the disk can be read. This same concept can be applied to other areas where magnetic sensors are used, such as industrial or medical applications. Chinese researchers have recently made a golden crown with a diameter of only a few nanometers. It is a large ring-shaped molecule containing 36 gold atoms. The team of researchers from the universities of Beijing, Hong Kong and Nanjing report that the molecular ring structure is held together exclusively by gold-to-gold bonds and is thus the largest ring system made of gold atoms produced to date. Large molecular rings have fascinated chemists for over 40 years, ever since the discovery of crown ethers in 1967. The pioneers in this area received Nobel Prizes in chemistry for their discovery in 1987. In the meantime, large molecular ring systems have played an important role in the search for new functional materials and in nanotechnology. The synthesis of ring systems held together exclusively by metal-to-metal bonds has remained a challenge. Small rings made of positively charged gold atoms have been known for some time, but only recently could the Chinese team make a ring containing 16 gold atoms. University of California, San Diego electrical engineers have created experimental solar cells spiked with nanowires that could lead to highly efficient thin film solar cells of the future. Indium phosphide nanowires can serve as electron superhighways that carry electrons kicked loose by photons of light directly to the device's electron-attracting electrode. And this scenario could boost thin film solar cell efficiency. The new design increases the number of electrons that make it from the light-absorbing polymer to an electrode. By reducing electron-hole recombination, the UC San Diego engineers have demonstrated a way to increase the efficiency with which sunlight can be converted to electricity in thin-film photovoltaics. Researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology have reported a new technique to sort batches of carbon nanotubes by length using high-speed centrifuges. Many potential applications for carbon nanotubes depend on the lengths of these microscopic cylinders, and one of the most important features of the new technique, say the scientists, is that it should be easily scalable to produce industrial quantities of high-quality nanotubes. Single-wall carbon nanotubes are essentially sheets of carbon atoms only one atom thick that have rolled themselves into tubes with a diameter of approximately 1 nanometer. They have unique combinations of thermal, mechanical, optical, and electronic properties that suggest a wide variety of uses, including circuit elements in molecular electronics, fluorescent tags for diagnostic and therapeutic applications in medicine, and light sources for compact, efficient flat panel displays, among many others. NanoSoccer returns to the field later this month when the National Institute of Standards and Technology hosts for the second time the world's most Lilliputian sport. Three student teams will participate in a public exhibition at the 2008 US Robo Cup Open in Pittsburgh from May 25 to 27, where miniature soccer players, or computer-driven robots 6 times smaller than an amoeba, operating on a field the size of a grain of rice, will show off their skills. The teams from Carnegie Mellon University, the US Naval Academy, and the University of Waterloo will meet at the Carnegie Science Center in Pittsburgh to put their nanobots through their paces. The nanobots will be demonstrating agility, maneuverability, response to computer control, and the ability to move objects, all tools that future miniaturized mechanized workers will need for such tasks as microsurgery within the human body or the manufacturing of atom-sized components for microscopic electronic devices. Cabana Skincare, manufacturer of organic and natural skincare products and sunscreen, has released its first organic sunscreen. It's made from 8 edible-grade certified organic and natural ingredients. This unique formula includes the safest mineral sunscreen, 25% non-nanoparticle zinc oxide. Green Screen Organic SPF 20 sunscreen was created in response to customer requests for a higher SPF, non-greasy, consistently creamy natural sunscreen. Unlike other natural skincare manufacturers, Cabana says it's truly 100% natural. Cabana uses simple formulas with easily understandable ingredients and does not rely on the greenwashing techniques commonly employed by other natural, so-called, manufacturers. For example, many companies that market natural use organic extracts or essential oils at very low percentage levels in petroleum-derived bases. Other greenwashing techniques include using plant-derived base oils that have been synthetically modified, such as with the capric-caprylic triglycerides that are frequently found in many other formulas marketed as natural. The only way to tell whether or not a company truly uses natural and or organic ingredients is by reading ingredient labels to understand each component. Scientists at the U.S. Department of Energy's Brookhaven National Laboratory and collaborators at Stony Brook University, John Hopkins University, and the National Institute of Standards and Technology have discovered that nano-sized regions with local polarizations or electric dipoles in a special class of otherwise disordered materials may underlie these materials' extreme electromechanical response to an external electric field or physical deformation. Such materials show enormous potential for industrial applications such as next-generation sensors, actuators, and transducers that convert between mechanical and electrical forms of energy. Known as relaxor ferroelectrics, or relaxors for short, these materials have the ability to deform significantly in response to an electric field, or conversely, have an electric current induced within them by a deforming physical force. This property, known as the piezoelectric response, is ideal for producing sensors and other devices. Understanding the origin of some materials' extreme piezoelectronic response may lead to the development of improved materials for a variety of applications. This week, AzoNano's reporter Cameron Chai is provided with some valuable tips for anyone looking to develop technology or intellectual property by Michelle Hedges, a partner at Phillips, Ormond and Fitzpatrick, patent and trademark attorneys. She emphasizes the importance of properly scoped and timed investigations and how they can potentially avoid wasting valuable time and money.
This is Cameron Chai here from azonano.com, and I've got with me today Michelle Hedges, who's a partner at Phillips, Ormond and Fitzpatrick, patent and trademark attorneys. How are you doing today, Michelle?
Good, thank you, Cameron.
Good to hear. So tell me, Michelle, what do Phillips, Ormond and Fitzpatrick patent attorneys do? What do you guys specialize in?
Phillips, Ormond and Fitzpatrick is actually a group of three businesses. We have the patent attorney firm, which is what I'm a partner of. We also have a company called IP Organisers, and they conduct IP research, investigations. And we also have our third business, which is Phillips, Ormond and Fitzpatrick Lawyers, and they provide legal services like, for example, licensing, agreements and litigation.
So you pretty much encompass the whole gamut for anybody who's in the process of developing technology?
I think we're able to provide a range of services from a very, very early on in the research project, so we can conduct investigations of the IP landscape and give researchers an overview of what other people have done previously in that technology, and also whether there's likely to be any existing IP rights that they may infringe if they ever decide to commercialise the results of their research. So that can give them an overview when they're beginning. If in the course of their research they do develop their own IP rights, for example, if they create an invention or a new design, then the patent attorney firm can lodge applications to protect those rights, so patent applications or registered designs or trademark applications, and we can help our clients see those applications through to grant. And then if they need to license their IP rights, our law firm is able to take on that particular aspect of the service. And if they need to take any action against competitors for infringing their rights, then again our law firm is able to provide litigation services.
So it's certainly quite useful for people who are developing technology to come and have a chat with you at least before they launch down the track of a major research and development project to see whether or not the area they're going to go into is vacant or not, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's very important for any research organisation to undertake at least some preliminary IP investigations before going too far down the research track. And I think it's necessary to have properly scoped and timed IP investigations at various stages throughout a research project. Otherwise, and I've seen this happen before, that there can be a huge waste of research time and dollars by not doing this. If you do your homework properly in the beginning and you know what the landscape is in that particular technology, then you can tailor your research program accordingly and perhaps avoid areas that are very heavily patented so that you're not likely to get any sort of meaningful protection for any developments you might make, and perhaps focus more on areas where there hasn't been a lot of activity previously. So doing some sort of IP investigation early on in the research project can be, you know, very useful.
So even though there's information out there that people can access about what patents have been lodged and things like that, it's still worthwhile to come and talk to people like yourselves, because you can access a lot more information than they can probably access themselves?
That's right. I mean, there are a lot of, for example, patent databases. There are a lot of free-to-the-public patent databases available on the internet. For example, Google search engines, some patent offices, particularly the US and the European patent offices, they have their databases available to the public for free use on the internet. But there are subscriber databases as well, to which our firm does have access. And these are not freely available to the public. You have to actually pay a fee. And those are the databases that we use when we do our IP investigations. A lot of information available on those databases wouldn't necessarily be available on free internet services.
So basically what you're saying is that by people doing their homework and looking up all the available IP and what's out there, they can potentially save themselves a lot of money and heartache by checking to see whether or not the space is vacant, I suppose.
I think that's right, and I think it's part of any good research program. IP investigations are really very important, particularly as most research nowadays does ultimately have commercialisation as a desired outcome.
And if people get to the stage that they need to draft patent applications, you are more than happy to help out in that respect?
Absolutely, yes.
And have you got any final advice to anybody who's looking to develop technology, whether it be technology or nanotechnology?
I think do your homework. Make sure that you investigate the IP landscape before going too far down a particular research path, and update your IP knowledge throughout the course of your research program. There will be some information that may not be available when you first do your investigations. For example, patent applications are not published until 18 months after they're first filed. So if you conduct a search of the patent records, you may not necessarily pick up all relevant records. So make sure that you update your searching throughout the course of the research project.
And what about, through your experience, having worked in the area for a while, are there any nanotechnology areas that have brought business to your company that you can speak about?
Yes, there is one that comes to mind. There was a joint project between Nanotechnology Victoria and Laminex. Laminex are one of our clients. They developed a high-pressure laminate for use in building applications, and that laminate incorporated a resin which included carbon nanotubes, and that laminate was useful for protecting against electromagnetic interference, and it also had anti-static applications.
So that's gone into commercialisation, or it's been licensed or something like that?
I haven't been involved with it since we got the patents and applied for it, but we did do investigations to see whether it would run into any difficulties with existing third-party rights if it is commercialised. Currently it's at the stage where we've lodged applications for it and markets are being investigated overseas.
Okay, and just finally, are there any other areas of nanotechnology that you've seen that have been quite popular for people applying for patents and trying to protect IP?
Well, I guess from my personal experience, there seems to be some interest in nanotechnology in the MEMS area, and I've done a couple of recent patent cases in that area for one client.
All right, Michelle, thanks very much for your time, and it was nice speaking to you.
Thank you, Cameron.
Azonano Business News, NTMDT, a world-known manufacturer of AFM and SPM microscopes, and Nano and Giga Solutions, a networking research and consulting company in Arizona, have signed an agreement for a joint development of an informal education web portal called the ASDN.net, or Atomic Scale and Design Network, in Atomic Scale Science, Fundamentals for Nanotechnology. EV Group, a leading supplier of wafer bonding and lithography equipment for the advanced semiconductor and packaging, MEMS, silicon on insulator and emerging nanotechnology markets, today announced that it'll open a new subsidiary in Seoul, Korea. The new subsidiary will serve as a direct-to-customer site for sales, service and support efforts for EVG's existing and potential new customer base. Until now, EVG's presence in Korea was via both its distribution and R&D partners. App Nano Materials Incorporated, a provider of nanotechnology-based products, announced that the Multisol Group, a leading distributor of advanced lubricating materials in Europe, the Middle East and Africa, in cooperation with INS, an R&D company specializing in tribology based in Genève, France, will begin to distribute in Europe high-performance lubricant additives based on App Nano Materials Nanolube, the world's first commercial nanotechnology-based solid lubricant. M-Phase, Always Ready Incorporated, has stated that it has successfully demonstrated the manual activation of its revolutionary lithium-based smart nano battery in front of a live audience at the 7th Annual Nano Business Alliance Conference and Exhibition, the leading nanotechnology trade association at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in Times Square, New York City. During the demonstration, M-Phase Always Ready mechanically activated a lithium pouch-based reserve battery, illuminating an LED light in front of a live audience. A video of the live demonstration is available for viewing via the Azer Nano video page. Nanophase Technologies, a technology leader in nanomaterials and advanced nano-engineered solutions, has been independently recertified to meet the standards of ISO 9001, the International Quality Management Standard, and ISO 14001, the International Environmental Management Standard. An audit of the company's manufacturing and development facilities and associated environmental systems was recently conducted by an ANSI-accredited third-party auditor. As a result of the audit and Nanophase's demonstration of the robustness of its quality and environmental management systems, recertification has been granted. Well, that was Azer Nano News for the week commencing the 19th of May 2008. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azernano.com. To read expanded versions of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening. Yeah.